On today's show, we're going to talk about being methodical, being a method man or woman in the approach you take towards life, towards work, towards whatever aspect of your world you're currently focused on. A couple of weeks ago, we introduced basically a new year, the beginning of September, back to school, back to work, the energy that comes along with the end of summer and the beginning of the fall, especially in places like the Northeast where the weather starts changing as well, is an exciting time. It's the beginning of the football season, soccer season, or whatever the fall sports that you might be involved in or a fan of. And I think it's a great time to kind of get new goals, new energy, new patterns, routines in your life, and to be more methodical and effective in whatever it is you're trying to achieve. So we're going to dig into that today. As always, I'll be sharing some personal anecdotes from my life experience, as well as challenging you and inviting you. Again, this is a project, not a view only sit back and observe type of show. This is really a group effort and in a group experiment. So I'll be challenging you to participate and developing and reviewing your own methodology that you take now towards whatever aspect of your life you want to focus on. So it is about halftime in September. It's the 14th, so we're 2 weeks in now. And just as with any new season, new year, new moment in life, we come up with a plan, and now's when we get to first take a look back and evaluate how did we do. Let's call it halftime again, a halftime check-in for the month. This is one of the things that is part of the methodologies that that I've been involved in and have created with Seven Pillars as well as Time Bug in 2020. It's the ability to go into a macro and a micro focus and be able to hold both views at the same time while also shifting your focus into a micro detail task and then kind of coming back out and looking at how that might affect the big picture. So I find this to be one of the keys to success in life, the ability to be both high level and see and understand all the different pieces, as we talked about last week, the different pieces or chips that we might have on the table invested in different projects. And those pieces involve our money, our energy, our time, the different relationships we have and how we manage those in our lives. And that's a bit of macro. And then micro is when we drill down and just kind of put our head down and get something done. So the ability to kind of simultaneously hold those in mind and in kind of being, and also know when we need to kind of shift back into a more nitty-gritty micro mode. And this is a good time to kind of take a step back and see how did we do in the first couple of weeks of the new year or month here in September. I know for myself, I kind of hit the ground running, came out of the gate really strong, really energetic. Probably did something that's a habit of mine, which is take too many things on my plate because I felt so positive and productive and was productive. But what happens when you take on too much? Eventually it starts wearing on you and can wear you down and wear you out. And I experienced a little bit of that in the last couple of days and had a couple of slower days. And as I, you know, spoke to my own board of advisors and network, learning how to be gentle with myself and not, you know, beat myself up too much over a day that might not have been what I had originally planned for it to be, is some of my work, some of my personal work, and something that I know a lot of us, you know, tend to do. You know, we will beat ourselves up and maybe quit or give up or just get discouraged if we don't kind of stay on pace, stay on track. And the approach I try to take in that regard is to kind of, you know, just kind of be gentle, you know, with myself, get a good night's rest, hit the gym the next morning or whatever my activity is. I play tennis this week for 2 hours one morning and just get that energy, get that vital energy, you know, back in our bloodstream and start fresh, start strong, regroup. As they say, and I think it was actually a quote from Mike, the great boxer Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And so maybe we're 2 weeks into the new month here, the new year, so to speak. And I'm sure all of us have been kind of hit or at least taken a swung at a couple of times, once or maybe more. And so now we're awake and we're kind of in the fight. And it's a great time to reflect and see, you know, how we can make some revisions going forward. I want to give you a look and a bit of a glimpse, you know, throughout the course of today's show into the, again, the methodology behind planning, goal setting. I'm a big believer in goal setting, but at the same time, we can't be too rigid about it. We can't be so set and fixated on, a certain track, let's say. What's a good example? Again, one day this week, I had a certain plan. There were 6-7 things on the list. And first thing in the morning, 2 specific clients reached out with somewhat of urgent situations. And so a fire drill ensued, unplanned, took 2-3 hours, out of my day, and also a couple of my colleagues. And I know they didn't have it planned for their day either, but we had to be responsive and adaptive, on the spot. And so can't fault ourselves with not having achieved what we had initially set out. So I think that planning and goal setting is extremely important, but we have to do so in kind of an intuitive and a flexible way, and have a flexible approach to that, and be able to make modifications as we go. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples here, and show you basically where we even got part of the word and language for the Timebuck brand, really out of looking at the different branches of our life. These are different branches you could see here, different color patterns relating to starting with our day, going up to the week, the month, the quarter, the year, a 5-year period, a 10-year period, which we like to call an era, could be a decade. And then we've got our life, our entire life. So we might have life goals and then break our goals down across all these different branches. So this is where we go super macro on a life or an era level, and then we get super micro down to, okay, that's all great, but what do I need to do today to be in alignment with my direction, with my life vision? And then even at the super micro level, it's what do I need to do right now? Not even today, because today might be overwhelming. There might be 10 things on the list and different appointments and meetings. What do I need to do right now? And we need to be in a good place energetically, connected to ourselves, and not kind of overwhelmed or confused in the mind. And if you are, it's a great invitation to engage in some type of practice. Call it spiritual, call it meditative, call it whatever you need to. It might be exercise itself, or just having a conversation, with oneself or with one of your advisors or colleagues. But what we need is the right kind of energy for the tasks at hand. What do we mean by that? Sometimes you need to be in that quiet space to sit down and really go deep into a certain project, and at other times you need to be in an interactive mode, so that you could bounce ideas off other people. Sometimes we need maybe read something or go back and do some research and be in kind of a discovery brainstorming mode. So there's just different types and levels of energy that we need to take on certain projects. I find that sometimes what I face is I might not have the right level of energy to meet the projects and the tasks that I have on my list for that moment, for that day. And that's when we get a bit either overwhelmed or a bit intimidated, or just feel like doing something else. And that's usually what happens in the case for me when I feel that, why didn't I do those, that one task or those 2 tasks that were on my plate? Why did I make the shift? And when I reflect back and look at it, I see it's because I didn't have the right level or type of energy to take that task on. And it's not always easy to access that level of energy. We have to really learn to know ourselves well enough to understand whether we could go to a certain tool or practice that can get us that level of energy we need, because it is very important for us to do that task, or shift gears to something else. Maybe that was too ambitious to try to take on writing a new business plan today, or coming up with writing a new chapter for a book, or whatever the task may be. If the energy level isn't there, we have that choice to make. Do we do some internal work to kind of get up to that energy level? Or do we maybe shift gears into something that meets the energy level that we're at. And usually the answer is, you know, somewhere in between, one or the other. We have to experiment, again, taking a methodical approach and an approach that's based on our own self-knowledge and experience so that we can not, you know, continue to meet the same disappointments and challenges, but find a way to maneuver around and be, you know, methodical and ultimately effective. So, we'll keep referring to methodology in our approach to basically scoring, right? If we're using the sports analogy, we're trying to move the ball down the field, we're trying to score one way or another, whether we have to run the ball, pass the ball, call audibles, completely improvise, you know, on certain plays when things break down, things don't go according to plan. It's not a time to give up or be rigid and stick to the plan. We have to know when to shift gears. So, you know, this intuitive kind of flexible planning approach is important. We'll see if we want to share a couple other things. I think when we're doing goal setting, we talk about a couple things, you know, the different types of goals that we have. And it's important, I think, to pay attention to all seven, what we call goal types or goal dimensions on this list. For a number of reasons, because some of these goal types, like where we spend our time, how we deploy our energy, which is very similar to time, is one of the goals that we actually have the most control over on a day-to-day basis. Whereas things like material outcomes or relationship qualities, those have other variables, you know, the quality of our relationship with a partner, a friend, family member depends on, you know, of course, the effort we make, but depends on someone else meeting us on the other side. So material outcomes, we may work for something, but may or may not achieve or attain that. Great goals to have, but we have to understand which goals we have most control over, which goals involve other variables. And I think it's important when we're doing our goal setting to have these different types of goals considered. And then further on, this is something that alludes to what I just mentioned as far as having the right kind of energy. What happens after we set goals and paying attention again to your own patterns? This is again part of the methodology of understanding yourself well enough to be able to then make changes and to understand that if you know you typically sabotage your goals for one reason or another to kind of, that's a nice flag to go deeper into that area to understand why that may be happening, what kind of emotional, psychological pattern is underlying that sabotage. Or again, fast starter, which is something I just mentioned, starting fast in September, beginning of a new period, and then kind of running into a tired period or a downtrend, and how do you handle it when you start fast and then you start getting winded? Do you give up and stop, or do you kind of learn how to find your pace? So, really important part of self-knowledge and understanding what happens after we set our goals. From here, I want to focus on this concept here of having inspired time. And again, you know, working in a company that's a consulting agency with multiple, you know, folks and basically getting paid by the hour for our time and expertise, we have frequent conversations and sometimes challenges about how to plan out not just one's own individual time, but time for a team, for a company, and then how to keep track of how long things take to get done. How long does it take for a web designer to put up a new web page or a marketing expert or a copywriter to write, you know, 10 pages of content for a new website or a brochure? Generally, over time, you can get somewhat in a predictable range there, which you need to do in order to be able to estimate and quote and bill clients effectively. But the self-knowledge, again, that I believe is required from everyone, as well as management, especially looking across a team, is critical to understand how long it generally takes people to get things done in their fields of expertise. But then also understanding that people get tired and go through these waves we talked about, lose inspiration, lose motivation, aren't always excited about the tasks and the projects on their plate, or as we just talked about, don't necessarily have the right kind of energy in a given day. Maybe someone is physically sick or is having a personal family issue with a member of their family that's sick or in need at a given moment. So there's so many factors and variables that go into how our energy is shaped in a given day. And some of it is out of our control. So this concept that we want to be inspired and we want to be in a high state of energy, a positive state of energy, an authentically positive state, not a rah-rah kind of hype, but you know, learning how to really get in tune individually and then organizationally, how to support one another and ensure or at least encourage that everyone does, you know, gets their proper rest and diet and exercise. Those are personal things, but you know, in the work-life balance context, ultimately we're all going to affect each other. And ultimately, wherever it is you work or whatever team you're part of, you spend more time with those people and interact with them more than you generally do with your friends and family. So it's another family, and it's important for that group to be in sync and to collectively help each other be in as optimal state as possible. Knowing that we can't always be at 100 miles an hour, right? There's these waves that we flow through. We all need that time off. Most of us had it, you know, sometime in August and over the summer, again, which is why we try to hit the ground running there in September. But we still have to pace ourselves. And, you know, I love this quote, though, that one inspired hour is better than 100 average hours, because there are these moments of brilliance, these moments of genius that we can't pull out every minute, every hour in our day and life, for the most part and for most normal people, can't be entirely 100% inspired. But it's, you know, again, it's kind of like an athlete, it could be a baseball player that just gets on base, but knows when, you know, they pull out that magic shot, you know, and hit it out of the park. Just, you know, managing our energy to a point where, you know, we can be above average and be efficient, be productive, and then just kind of keep some space and make some space for those inspired hours or those inspired work sessions. And when we feel it, to really go with it, because that's not always something we can plan. Like, oh yeah, today, you know, from 1 to 5 p.m., I'm going to have a magical inspired session and produce, you know, the best work I've ever done. We can say it. We can have that as a goal. It's very hard to kind of pinpoint when we're going to kind of be in that zone or how often we can do it. But there are things we can do, and this methodology is all geared towards trying to get us into those optimal states as frequently as possible. So where do we go from here, and how to kind of put you all in the mix and challenge everyone to kind of take a lot of these ideas and concepts and put them into practice? Well, I want to see and challenge everyone to take a look at this paradigm and this kind of system that we've put together with TimeBug and 2020 Life Vision, and really get a good understanding of yourself over whether it's the last 2 weeks of September or the month of October. So the challenge for this particular project will be to take a 2 week to 4 week forward period, and plan, you know, across the different categories of your life, you know, however you like to organize yourself, and lay out not only your goals for that period, but look at every hour in that period. There's usually about 750 hours or so in a given month. So I would possibly consider it for this upcoming month of October. And lay out where you're going to spend every hour for the month. We have the tools for you to do it. I'll show you how some of that looks. If we can give you some examples here. If we can just go to the screen. And we will... We'll help you do this. It's really not that, you know, that complicated. It's just about understanding, you know, simple things like how long you sleep, how much time you spend at work, but then go a little deeper. Go a little deeper into Don't just say, 40 hours at work, but go a little deeper into your work and break that down into the goals you have for that that 40-hour week. Here, I show you an example of, how I plan across seven different projects. And obviously, since I'm one of these meticulous time trackers, I've got the last 10, 15 years or so of my life tracked down to the detail, down to the hour. When you have historical information, it's always easy going forward to kind of make adjustments. When you don't have it, there's a bit of guesswork. And that's why I think getting this month, the next part of this challenge, isn't just the planning of those hours, but then the tracking, even if it's not perfect, to a level where you can say, this was my plan, and this is what actually happened. Without any judgment, again, this is science. This is the lab of life, and a chance for you to take one period of time. I said 2 to 4 weeks, but the more I think about it, I'd like to challenge that to be a full month period. I think a full month is a great time bug, as we say, or period of time through which you can track what your plans are, what goals are associated with that, and then see how you did. And not that you have to do it every month. Obviously, our system allows you to do that and does encourage you to be methodical and continue that exercise. But I would say, let's just start with 1 month. Other things we do in the system is we don't just track the time, but because that's the quantity, but we also track the quality. How did we feel? And we evaluate each day. You can see here, there's a, we evaluate on a physical, mental, emotional, and then just overall level on a 1 to 10 scale. Right, and then we look at things like, I asked myself this question, as a football, NFL specifically, fanatic, how much time do I spend watching or reading about football in a given year? And I had kind of a concept, and I had a plan there, or a bucket, again, that I created to make space for it, and it was 200 or so, 210 in this case, and then I tracked it, and the actual came out to 180, which was interesting for me to see. You could see in orange there all the football Sundays and Mondays, and then obviously there's the off season between February and July where I could zero it out for the most part, besides reading about training camp and the draft and things like that. So it's something I really enjoy because there's a period of the year which we're now in which is very active, but then by the time January comes around, I'm kind of tired of it and ready to spend my time and weekends doing other things and kind of conserve my energy, apply them to other hobbies. So this is one way to track a specific area. And did the same and do the same with exercise and fitness. You can see in this model here, I call it the exercise bug, all the red marks there. So everything you see there between Jan and December is all 365, I believe, non-leap year. Days, 365 days in this year, and everything in red are the days that I missed, didn't work out, and everything else, you could see there's a little code, letter code for what the workout was, and I had a goal of working out 300 days in the year and was able to achieve it. So great to see what the goal is, whether you meet it or not, is a different case, but obviously it feels good when you are able to meet the goal. And using a tool like this and the methodology, I was able to see when I was off track and off pace and where I needed to catch up if I still wanted to hold that goal. So again, this goes into the micro of the day-to-day and then stepping back to the macro vision for the year for my own health and fitness, and then being able to make those adjustments day-to-day to kind of keep pace with that goal since I didn't want to let that go. I think sometimes there are periods when we do our check-ins or we have to have kind of a reality check and say, you know what, I'm not going to meet this goal. I mean, it's just not going to happen unless I drop so many other things. And that is actually quite okay, in my opinion. I think we have to be able to, again, continue to be flexible and iterative and, face reality, the reality that's here today, regardless of what plans and goals we had before, and learn how and when we need to make adjustments going forward. So that's the kind of systematic approach that that I support, and kind of the paradigm that we, you know, presented with TimeBug. Now, you know, I talked about football and the NFL, and last week I, you know, exposed some of my own, you know, challenges in terms of just personal vices and the history I had with gambling, you know, specifically in college and just after that period of my life, and how I've kind of channeled, you know, my knowledge and interest for the sport, for the game, into this kind of NFL portfolio investment methodology. And again, it's just part of this methodical approach that that has helped me, and that, you know, certainly I think helps almost anyone that's successful. If you talk up to a successful athlete and you see, what's your routine every day? Waking up, what you eat, how many times you exercise. The best ones are the ones that come, they show up to practice early, they stay late to kind of hone their craft, and that's all part of their methodology. For the NFL portfolio here, just to kind of give a quick report on that and shift gears, and this will be our last topic for the day. We had our first week in the books for the 2018 season. I posted a website here, NFLportfolio.com, where we talk about the methodology, and we also list the results that we've had, 7 straight winning years. So you can click into any season and see, for example, you know, the exact record that we had, wins, losses, week to week, and as well as winnings. So it's hard to kind of read the spreadsheet here, but if you come into it and you can click on it, you can actually see all the actual activity that happened week to week. Now, again, for week one of the 2018 season, it wasn't a great week. It was a slight winning week. The record wasn't that great. It was an opportunity, as I see it, to really learn the teams and the new personalities, the new looks, the new strategies that they employ, and you start to get to know the teams during the course of the season. It's, again, part of the system and methodology here is not, you know, game to game, week to week. It's, again, the macro. Now, yes, every week I've got to drill into the micro and analyze each specific game, and that's just part of the practice. But any single game is essentially a toss-up. It's very, very hard to call. The system only really becomes effective when you start stepping back and looking at it on a macro level and seeing that there's, okay, a 55 to 60%, you know, winning percentage here, which is a winning formula. But, you know, if you take 55%, you know, and flip a coin or you know, ask someone to, you know, bet or invest their full pot into that one piece of risk, that's extremely risky and there's a high probability of losing. But when you spread that and diversify that through a methodology over 20 weeks, over 600 plus different pieces of allocation and methodical selections, you vastly improve your odds of success in that light. So again, without diving into it too deeply, did want to just show the spreadsheet that's the basis of the system. Here we can look and see, this is the current week that we have here. And maybe what I'll do is do a little bit of a screen capture and use my pen to just show a couple things, because I know it's just a lot of numbers on the screen right now. Let's see if we can get into this. See if this pen works. No, it's not seeming to work. Try one more time. Usually I can double click my little pen here and then start writing on the screen. No, it's not allowing that to happen. So I'll just, you know, point out here that if we can go back to the screen, that, you know, here, you know, we list all the games, the favorites, the underdogs, the lines, the totals, right? And then what happens over here is I make all the predictions on this side. So again, we have all the games, and then we basically predict scores for each game. before looking at any of the lines, you know, so as not to be, you know, influenced by that. And then we compare the actual delta between the score prediction and the actual line. So in this case, for last night's game, Bengals hosting the Ravens, the actual line was 1 point with the Ravens as favorite, whereas I predicted the Bengals to win by 3. So that's a delta of 4. Actually, I end up picking the underdog. So that delta of 4 goes here, and that influences, if that delta is greater than 2 or 3, that usually signifies a decent, you know, pick in our system. If it's as high as, let's say, 9 or 10, that starts tending to be more of a 5-star pick because it's a huge delta. So the larger the delta between my prediction and the actual line, usually the more higher the grade, and we have a 1 to 5 grading system. You could see PL, which means pick line confidence, and then the over under confidence. So I had a 4 out of 5-star confidence on the Bengals and a 3-star confidence on the actual over, O for over, U for under. And actually both of those ended up winning last night, as it was a 34-23 win. So that was actually 57 points, whereas the predicted over under was 45. And so I'll take it. It's a good success. Also, last Thursday, by the way, I was also 2-0. But as you can see, there's still 41 or 39 positions or allocations or picks in play. So there's a lot of with a lot of, again, hypothetical money here on the line. So this isn't a system that I'm currently deploying my own money into. It's just picks that I make, and we make these selections or this allocation available to anyone who's interested in having that information before the actual football week begins. Otherwise, we post it to the website and social media right after kickoffs so that it could be verified and validated about what selections we made. So, I'll leave it at that for now, and we'll kind of keep coming back to this during the course of the year just to show how a methodology, like anything in life, goes through its ups and downs. But if we stick with it, if we stick to it, if we keep showing up every day, whether our energy level's high or low, we continue to show up. We continue to work on our areas of weakness or what our, you know, trends and tendencies might be that might be limiting us from being as effective as we desire to be. And if we take more of a flexible and intuitive approach, more so than kind of a rigid, dogmatic approach, I think those are some good recipes for success. But measurement and data, personal data, is an important part of it. We talk about quantified self, and Time Bug in 2020 are quantified self systems and paradigms. So again, I'll leave everyone with the challenge and the Polymath project of the week, which is the Polymath in all of us, which is doing many, many things in life, personally, professionally, to measure all that. I do have a category recommendation here. I mean, these are the 7 life categories that we recommend. So just take a quick look there. You know, our core work, then special projects, personal life, which could time with family and personal hobbies, spirituality, whatever that means to us, our basic needs, which is our sleeping, eating, hygiene, taking showers, the basic things we need to do in life, which take up, you know, a huge portion of our time, of course, health, fitness, and then skills, which could be learning a language or some, you know, knowledge that we're developing, or if we're going to school, it could fall under that category. So these are 7 categories that I track across, and here it's highlighted for the week, which is obviously 168 hours every single week, the same every single day, the same. Months could change depending on the number of days, but here you could see usually about 744 is the number. So take a look at October, if you will, or whatever the upcoming month is when you're able to look at this video and lay your week out using one of our tools from the Time Bug or 2020 app, or just creating your own spreadsheet if that suits you. And tracking it, having just 1 or 2 notes of goals next to each one, and then more importantly, or just as importantly, making sure you monitor how you actually did. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect. Don't give up if you miss a day or a few days without knowing where you spent your time. Again, you could use our tools and systems to help you with this, or you can just do it on a scratch pad if it suits you that way. One way or another, it's all part of the methodology. I wish you success in your process, and we'll see you next week.